Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on. We're getting ready to bring old Jacob Tyler in just about 30, 50 seconds. And Lee has something he wants to read to Jacob. I'm going to throw this couple of tidbits out before we bring Jacob on. It's my understanding that Jared Kushner has gone over and got his buddy Mohammed bin Salman, this big dude over there in Saudi Arabia, to replace King Abdullah of Jordan. King Abdullah of Jordan was pretty much of a protectorate of Jerusalem, I understand. He was over, he protected the Islamic temples, mosque, the Jewish temples, and even the Christian churches. I don't remember the name, but it's one of the oldest churches in the world, I guess, over there, the Church of the Holy Communion, whatever it is. But now they've taken, they've gotten rid of Jared Kushner, gotten rid of King Abdullah. And replaced him with, they say, I don't know, I was talking to Lee about it during the break, that Mohammed bin Salman is kind of like a bed partners with the bisexual Jared Kushner. I don't know. I'm not swearing to that. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what the scuttlebutt is. And one more little tidbit, and this is just to throw it out there for you. See where the United States is building a bunker, a fort in Poland, they say, so to speak. And then this is the God's truth. They're going to call the fort over there, name the military outpost of Fort Trump. Figure that one out, because, we're building a fort right on the border of the mean, old, nasty Russians. But they can't come in Cuba or any place else, or we're going to threaten them all-out nuclear war. Now I want to shut up. Jason, how you doing? How you doing tonight, Jacob? How you doing tonight, fella?
Hey, Eddie. Great to be on the air with you tonight, and hello to Lee as well, and everyone out there listening in the audience. I am doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
Well, I'm glad you are. Matt couldn't be with us tonight. Matt had a stat call. He had to go, and he has to pay, like our brother Rich said, he's like us. He has to pay bills, and he has to go, man. He really does. He does a fantastic job, and thank God. See, that's why we have so many co-hosts. People say, why do you have so many co-hosts? For one, I need them, because I can't do this by myself. But listen, thank God you're on tonight, and, but I'm going to shut up now. Lee has this thing he's going to read to you about something, a ruling the FBI has come out. We love them. They protect us, don't they, Lee? Go ahead, Lee.
Fella. Okay. Yeah, hey, everybody, Jacob. I was just saying, the FBI says that, conspiracy theorists can now be termed a terrorist organization. But I think they're, that's why Q, there's this movement called Q. He's supposed to be a government agent or agents telling people, trying to expose things that the government's keeping secret for no doing their illegal stuff, but we don't know who it is, so it's just a perfect cover to set up innocent, well-meaning citizens to fall into the trap. I wouldn't take Q. He might have said some good things, but since it's anonymous, I really wouldn't trust him. What do y'all think about it?
Go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah, it is. It is a slippery one. There, it's another one of those things. So many of this stuff is it's believable either way, and I suppose that's the hallmark of a good alias: is you have to have plausible deniability. But at the same time, that's also the pitfall of it. A good alias has plausible deniability. But because it's anonymous, it's anyone's guess as to who the actual source is. It's kind of like that hacker conglomerate, Anonymous. As their name suggests, they don't actually, there's no official spokesperson. No one readily can point to a base of operations or anything that's at least officially acknowledged. Maybe some of you conspiracy researchers out there have dug up some stuff on this, and there's a money trail to follow at this point or whatnot. I'm not saying there is. I'm saying I don't know emphatically that there isn't. Maybe someone has found something. But on paper, by definition, no one's really supposed to know who these guys even are. And consequently, anyone can claim to be part of Anonymous. And, you know, and because they've built up this name recognition for themselves, then a lot of people are just going to take that at face value. Similarly, with QAnon, anyone could claim to be a QAnon source, other people that have some kind of insight or some kind of information that might not be readily known to the public yet or even widely distributed in conspiracy awareness circles could put something up and claim to be QAnon. And so to answer your question, Lee, I mean, it's very possible that the guy is legit because if there were, hypothetically, somebody in the government who had a conscience about what was going on and you wanted to leak information to the public, that would be one of the only means at your disposal. I mean, we know what sort of demonic influences push these people forward. We know how completely and utterly cutthroat they are. We know how readily they turn on their own, just like, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, loathsome and despicable individual that he is still being thrown under the bus by the people in the elite power circles that he's provided entertainment, quote-unquote, to for all this time. I mean, he's a guy that's served them well, and yet now, when it's convenient for them, they throw him under the bus. So, yeah, I mean, if someone were out there who did have a conscience, and make no mistake, I mean, there are some decent people in the government. It's a logical fallacy to say that just because someone is part of the American government that they don't have some kind of conscience, or maybe it's there's a process by which they are awakened to what's going on. And we see numerous examples of this in history and in Scripture itself. You know, the Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote most of the New Testament, if you had a Christian problem in your town, you called this guy in and he would come kill Christians for you. And, you know, as we all know, God had other plans for him. So, you know, there probably are people in the government that have a conscience. And if they're there, if they, you know, wanted to get this information out to people, they would have to do something along the lines of what QAnon is ostensibly doing. But it's very hard to know for certain. So that's kind of a long answer, but hopefully that kind of makes sense. Let me know if there's something I neglected to address there.
I don't think you neglected anything there, Jacob. And just to tune in on what you and Lee have said. Now, I didn't get to read that article. It's one of the few I didn't get to read today. But here's what I think. I think what the FBI is letting us know is that if you're a so-called what they call a conspiracy theorist, if you believe that the FBI tracks people, if you believe that they listen to our phone calls and they track our email, our emails, and our all the kind of stuff like that, you know. Then they're going to come after us, and because they're going to list us as terrorists. They're going to list us people, you know, us conspiracy theorists as terrorists. And before we go on to, I've got to cover this article, but before we go, Lee, would you have anything to say to that? Add to that?
Well, you know, now since they're passing pro-Zionism laws, so you can't think or say anything, it's going to double. We would be arrested now. I know we'll all be arrested and hauled off, and we'll be gone for good.
Excellent point. Excellent point. If you say that the Jews, Israeli Jews, have too much influence in the Congress, if we say that they own the banks, which they do, then you're a conspiracy theorist, and you need to go to the concentration camp. People, we got to go. We're going right back to continue this. We're going to go to a new article in just a minute when we come back to this break. Thank you for hanging on.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosherified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Okay, people, we're right back, and before we go, we got a new article I want to go to, but Lee Cochran, or one of our brothers, wants to chime in. He wants to make a comment before we continue on.
Yes, I just want to make clear, me and everybody else, we don't want any group or person to get hurt, somebody to take action to hurt people in any way. We abhor violence or anything. I just want to make that statement. We're not encouraging people to hurt other people or groups of people.
You've got that right. We all say that, Lee. We're all Christians here, and we just do what we can best. I got this article right here, y'all, from LA Now. It's pretty mind-boggling. I'll read this thing I got here. It said the United States invaders are carrying disease like feral animals. They really are. They have the hygiene practice of rats. They're defecating in the public in Los Angeles. These are my notes. They're carrying typhus, hepatitis, meningitis. It's rampant. It's really rampant out there. Typhoid, measles, leprosy that we hadn't seen since the Bible days. It's rampant. Here's an article I got pulled up. LA, it says, hang on with me just a minute. I don't like to read articles, but this covers it good. LA officials acknowledged a new cleanup campaign after a county report citing the health dangers of feces, urine, and hypodermic needles found recently on Los Angeles Skid Row. Skid Row's huge there, though. It says the human feces are very disturbing. Duh. And as are the hypodermic needles, says this the Los Angeles County's top public health officials. And if you think I was exaggerating with my own notes, it says right here, the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health inspected a 9-block area and discovered human waste, injection needles, condoms, and rat infestations. Like I was telling Lee, I'm an old RN, done community health, done many different types of nursing. Rats feed off of human feces. I know that sounds rough, but we're a hardcore show. They feed off of other animals' poop. They feed off the crap that just makes you want to vomit. That's why they call them rats. And what they're doing, the city of Los Angeles is covering. I won't name how much the weight it is. I mean, it's pretty rough, but you need to know this is going on. And let's get this. the city of Los Angeles was going in and using high pressure hoses. They're having to go in once a week, twice a week, and hose off these streets, man. When the human feces and clean up these needles, and they were moving out these shanty towns with these illegals coming in, these invaders coming in from the south of the border. But you know, the United States Ninth Circuit of Court of Appeals has clamped down on the city of Los Angeles. Said, no way, you cannot clean that stuff up. You got to leave that poop there. You got to leave those shanty towns there because we can't violate their rights, man. In the city of Los Angeles, it couldn't happen to a better city, though. You know, they need to get they brought this on themselves. They really did. The city is trying to. The last thing I'm going to go, Jacob Lee. It says the city requested that the inspection as part of its battle against a federal court injunction issued last June that has limited sweeps. They have limited the sweeps of the police and cleanup crews into the area. The city, I mean, it seems sounds insane, y'all. The city of Los Angeles is having to try to negotiate with the Ninth Circuit Court to let them come in and clean up this piles of human crap. I mean, the rats are taking over every kind of disease imaginable, and it's getting worse by the day. What do you think about that, Jacob? I mean, is that insane, man? I mean, this is true. I'm just, check it out for yourself. I'm lying. I'm done. But check it out for yourself, people. What do you think about that, Jacob?
Oh, it's obscene. It's obscene, too, if that's the word. If it's possible for something to be obscene in addition to insane, I'm sure it's that, too. But it's definitely insane. And it's doubly insane when you consider that so much of the rhetoric that they frame the alleged imperative for us to be welcoming of migrants in is it's humanitarian in nature. They frame this stuff in humanitarian rhetoric. And in regards to the gun grabbers, you know, wanting to take away people's Second Amendment rights, they'll say stuff like, well, if it saves one person's life, you know, it's all worth it. And then things like this are such a glaring example, and a pretty hilarious one, if I do say so, of that narrative collapsing on itself. And the lefties are terrible about this. They always try to act like they have the moral high ground, and they always try to frame their talking points in humanitarian rhetoric, and the narrative always collapses under its own weight because of stuff like this. And they don't even try very hard to conceal these things. I mean, what happened to that humanitarian rhetoric? If this is all about improving people's quality of life, and, you know, even things that might be unconstitutional are all worth it if it saves a human life and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Where is that line of thinking when it comes to American citizens? Where is that line of thinking when it comes to the people that might be affected by these infectious diseases that migrants are carrying into the country? And in response to that, people want to act like, say, you know, they want to recoil in horror and act like saying that migrants coming into the country have infectious diseases is some kind of a slur against migrants and poor oppressed people. Oh, you monster! How could you say that these poor oppressed people, you know, have diseases? Which is also funny, because then out of the other side of their mouth, they'll go, oh, we gotta let these people in because they're coming from these third world countries where they have, you know, they don't have access to good health care, and they're succumbing to diseases and stuff like that. So when it's a talking point that they can beat us over the head with and say, oh, well, we owe it to these people to help them because look at all the disease they're suffering from, then, you know, oh, yeah, we have no problem with disease. But then point out that maybe some of those same people coming from those third world hell holes might be bringing some of those diseases that they were so worried about just recently with them, and that might be affecting our own population. Oh, you monster. How could you possibly imply such a thing? Yeah. So, I mean, they can't introduce two ideas into the marketplace of ideas without them colliding in a disastrous head-on collision. It's like they can't even introduce two talking points into the discussion without contradicting themselves, and it's appalling.
You know, Jacob, you know, I find this ironic. Like you just said, oh, we can't possibly turn these poor invading millions of migrants away because they're coming from towns where they have to live with human feces on the street down there. They're coming from town where there's condoms on the street. There's cities down there have needles just thrown aside. Well, we come up here in Los Angeles, California, and we see human feces all in the street. We see condoms in the street and the sidewalk. We see needles thrown everywhere. So I mean, what's the difference between them? They don't care. You know, we have to take them in because they're living in third world conditions down there. But it's okay to live in third world conditions here and tax the crap out of American citizens, put our children at risk for all these diseases. I mean, we haven't had typhoid in this country since my grandfather back in the 30s, probably 30s and 40s. It was wiped out. We haven't had. I mean, my God, leprosy. I mean, the diseases that have been dead for, you know, for over 1,000 years, I guess. But we're just, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. The thing about it, these government officials know it's insane, but we got these cucks, these self-loathing white people. They're just too stupid to realize that. And to back that up, I heard it was on True News, Pastor Rick Wiles was talking about these stupid people, city dwellers up here thinking the Smoky Mountains, holding it. No, wait, it was in, Yellowstone National Park. Rich just said something I can't read over the air. But they're holding their children and babies in front of 2,000-pound wild bisons. They're shaking their kids, chasing down these mama bears, and thinking, I can't believe the bear's going to attack us. That's not the way it is in cartoons. But, you know, people are completely gone. So they're just stupid. Jason, we're going to bring up Monica Schaefer just a minute, and I'm going to turn it over to Jacob and Lee and Monica Schaefer. People, hold on to your seats. We'll be right back. This show is going way too fast. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The ATF Border Patrol and Texas Department of Public Safety are involved in the investigation of a shooting at an El Paso, Texas Walmart near Interstate 10. Texas Lieutenant Governor Republican Dan Patrick tells Fox News,
"We do have the shooter in custody. It's a 21-year-old male, and we have between 15 and 20 casualties. We don't know the number of fatalities."
El Paso resident Vanessa Sines says she saw a woman hit by a bullet.
She was coming out of Walmart, heading to her car. So she had her groceries in her car, and I saw her just fall.
President Trump has been briefed on the situation, and Democratic presidential candidate and former congressman in El Paso, Robert O'Rourke, is headed back to West Texas following the shooting.
I'm incredibly saddened, and it is very hard to think about this.
This is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved. I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally, lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
In his first public remarks since President Trump's tweets last week, Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings invites the president to come to Baltimore.
Do not just criticize us, but come to Baltimore, and I promise you, you will be welcome. I promise you, we will give you every bit of hospitality we've got. Because every time you come to Baltimore, every time you spend a few dollars in a hotel, that means somebody in this neighborhood is working.
Most of the Democratic presidential candidates appeared Saturday at a public service forum hosted by one of the big unions in Nevada. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren was among them, and she says she has a plan that would reduce the economic disparity between African Americans and whites.
America's had an issue for a long time about moving in and widening the black-white wealth gap. I have picked deliberately the numbers that are going to help shrink that wealth gap and maximize opportunity.
and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, we were right back, and we're getting ready to go to our star guest tonight. We've got Monica Schaefer back on. She's one of our crowd's favorite people. She's going to come on, and I'm going to ask her right off the bat when I bring her on. I'm going to ask her if she's going to go during the commercial. I heard that we all need to go to Baltimore. We need to spend some money there. One of our people, one of our friends that donates to our show, left out of that city because he said it was just, in his words, well, I'll kind of paraphrase what he said. It's a hellhole. And you consider yourself lucky if you come home and you make it home alive each night. Well, anyway, Miss Monica, how are you doing tonight, young lady?
I'm doing just great, thanks. How are you?
We're doing pretty damn good. We got Lee here in the studio with me. He's the only person I know that's almost as ugly as I am. And we got the young Jacob Tyler on the night. He's going to help us out because sometimes I have a hard time remembering where I am and where I'm going. So it's so great to have you on tonight. I know the last time we talked to you, you had to go play a wedding with your fiddle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, actually, that's right. I played a wedding. You had asked me to come on that day, and I couldn't because I was playing at a wedding, which was a wonderful thing. I used to play at lots of weddings. That has dried up somewhat because of the ritual defamation that's taken place in this town where I live. But anyway, that's all right. I did want to tell you about the busking success that I've had now this summer. I don't know if you all know what that is. It's perhaps a Canadian term. It's when you go out on the street and open your music case, your violin case for me, and I play music out there, and then passers-by, they can throw in a coin voluntarily, of course, if they like. They can throw in some money into the case, and that's called busking. So I was prohibited from busking in this beautiful town because of my non-inclusive beliefs, believe it or not. And they made up all kinds of rules and procedures so that I wouldn't be able to acquire a busking license. And now, they made these rules extra special for me. Gosh, that just made me feel so special, you know? Well, lo and behold, though, I know they made those rules just for me. I mean, for one thing, it was obvious at the time. I mean, they would tell me things like, look, it's not about your music. We just don't want you out there at all. And I mean, with all this stuff going on with, you know, defaming me, shunning me, ostracizing me, just because I do wrong think. And in case your listeners don't know what this wrong think is about, it's because I have disputed and I say that the history of World War II is not as it was presented to us, and that thing that they call the Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust, that is a great big lie. And it's the bludgeon with which they are seeking to destroy us, the white race. Anyway, to get back to the busking issue, last summer I was safely tucked away in that German gulag, you know, prison in Germany for 10 months. And during that time, they did away with all those procedures and rules, and they just told the public, come and get your busking license, just come and pay for it, and you'll have your permit, and you can go out and play music in the streets. So this year, when I came back to Jasper, They lost. They couldn't now turn around and make up all these rules again. It was just too blatantly, how would you describe that? That they
obvious.
Yeah. I just went, and it took a while to get the license. It wasn't without any glitches, and I ended up going out there without a license at first, and I won't tell the long story of why that was. Basically, I was giving a blessing to do so by the folks who sold these licenses. They just weren't available yet, and she said, well, just stay off of the municipal sidewalks, and there's some other places that I could go to. And then the bylaw officer, they hadn't communicated with those folks at the permit office, and then they gave me a hard time. And I just told them, look, I'm sovereign over my domain, and I do not consent to this harassment. And oh, my goodness, they had a little conniption. But I won in the end. I got my permit, and I'm out there every day. And the tourists love it, absolutely love it. They know what to do. And so that's a real joy for me. It makes me happy every time I do it.
Well, Miss Monica, before we go to Jason, I'm going to ask you, when are you going to do some busking on Blood River Radio? Because we like that here. We will not ban you because you have wrong think. But how about that? You need to come on our show and busk some night.
Well,
you have your fiddle with you tonight. Before you go tonight, I want you to play. I want you to play something. I'm play a good German song before you go tonight. But with that, Jacob, are you there, son? Where are you, Jacob? Come in here, boy.
I am here. Hello, Monica.
Hi.
Go ahead, Jacob.
So, what would be some of the, for the benefit of the audience members who may not be completely up to speed, Monica, what would be some of the most exciting and recent developments with your efforts and activism that you could tell us about?
So I guess what you're saying is directly related to, you know, I mean, I guess, are you saying directly related to the you know, the story of, you know, trying to wake the people up to real history, or are you talking about what's going on with me and my life here? Because lots has been going on in that regard. I mean, there's the books that they took from me at the border coming back into Canada from the States in April, and now I got a letter. I mean, there's been some letters going back and forth between me and the Canada Border Services Agency, and the latest one, it is the most ludicrous thing. It's very Jewish logic, I would say. So they send me a letter July 16th, and they tell me I have 2 weeks for them to receive in writing. I'm supposed to provide them with evidence regarding the admissibility of the books. Now, they had told me, oh, this is hate material. Now, this is Jewish logic because, first of all, I don't have the books. They took them from me. I did not yet read them. So if I'm supposed to provide evidence for something that I do not have in hand because they stole it from me, that's the first part of what doesn't make sense at all. The second part that doesn't make sense at all is that they dated the letter July 16th. They said that within 2 weeks of the date of that letter, they have to have that evidence. And I received the letter 9 days later. So in other words, if 5 days I had to gather evidence on something that I didn't have, and I'm supposed to prove something in the negative that they're accusing, I mean, that's the other part of this Jewish logic. You see, they accuse me of having books with hate propaganda. Now, they should be proving that that is what the case is. That why is the onus placed on me to prove something that is not, that I'm supposed to prove it is not? I mean, the whole thing is like there's major problems with this. Now, I haven't even written back yet. I do intend to, but I'm going to point these things out to them. You know, and it's summer. People are traveling in summer holidays. But even just this timing, you know, it took 9 days for me to get the letter, and they want to have in their hands all this evidence from me on something that I do not have in my hands. So that's kind of one thing that happened. Another thing that happened 3 days ago is I got fired from a job, and it was just a one-day-a-week job with the fruit truck at the local market. And this fellow, he'd already received pressure. I worked for him 2 years ago also. And he received pressure from some Jews in town here, and they would just, you know, go storming off. Oh, you have her working for you? And he stood up for me to be working there. You know, he doesn't necessarily agree with my interpretation of history because he hasn't researched it. However, he was a good man, and he stood up for me that this had nothing to do with that, and I was working for him. But this summer, it just got to him. It got to be too much. And he fired me at the end of a day where I had really worked so hard. And I mean, and he told me it's not to do with how you work. He loved how I worked. I worked very hard. and then he phoned me at the end of the day and said, you know, I have to separate business from, you know, you as a worker and blah, 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 blah. And I just said, oh, yeah, he buckled under the pressure. I mean, this is how they do it. And he said he's going to, he had to think about his business. Now, I can tell you that was not going to hurt his business just because a few individuals here in town, a few Jews and maybe some of their, you know, helpers or, you know, Shabbat goy or whatever, they might not have bought fruit from him. But I'm telling you, business was rocking. And it's mostly tourists anyway here in town, and they have no idea of all this background story of me being shunned. But, you know, he buckled under the pressure, and that's how it goes. Anyway.
Well, Miss Monica, we've got to go to a break. We hear the music coming up. We've got to go and try to pay a few bills if possible. We'll be right back. I have a couple of questions to ask you. One of our brothers wants me to ask you a question. I have one myself that will go to you and Jacob. We'll be right back, people. Hang on and listen to more from Miss Monica Schaefer from Canada.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we were right back, and sadly, we're going to the last segment. I promise you, this has been the fastest 2 hours of my whole life. I just don't know where the time goes. But I've got to ask a question, two questions to Monica. But before we do that, I'm just going to give you a little heads up about what we're going to do next week. We always over-prepare here. So next week, just to let you know, we're going to cover a little thing called that the FBI is warning of a new threat of black, get this, black identity extremism. They've gotten into hot water for using that term. I don't know why they can't call it black, black, what is that? What do they always call us? White extremists, whatever. Anyway, we're going to cover the unholy union between United States energy giants, United States government. It comes to have the United States, the energy giants, the energy giants and the transnational corporations have their own friggin' armies. Okay, but let's let you know before we go back, I've got two questions. My first question is probably short and to the point. How's Alford doing, Miss Monica?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked about him because I did want to talk about that he is still in jail and he will be for quite some time. Now, he was supposed to go back to court on July 26th, but I've just learned from his wife that that date got postponed to August. When is it? Just in this next week, I think just in a few days. And why he is going back to court? First of all, I'll just give a little background. So Alfred Schaefer, my brother, he was sentenced to 38 months in prison last October 26th when I was released on time served after being there for 10 months. And this, again, is for wrong think, wrong speak, okay, on issues of about the Jews and what they're up to and how they're, you know, enslaving us and how they are doing it with deceptions and lies, and in particular, you know, 9/11 and World War II and hollow hoax and all these things. But anyway, the reason he's back in court is because of things that he said in court. So this is the most bizarre situation, that you cannot explain how you reached your conclusions without committing new crime when you are in court, because you're speaking those things, quote-unquote, in public that you're not supposed to speak in public, and the court being public, you see. So this is how bizarre it has become, and for that he faces new trial dates, and we'll see what comes out of that. But, you know, I want to tell you, he is in fantastic spirits. He writes really feisty letters, and I encourage people, if they want to go to my website, they can find his address there, how to write a letter to him. That's a really good thing to do, is write letters to political prisoners. And my website is freespeechmonica.wordpress.com, and Monica with a K.
I'll say that one more time, Miss Monica.
Yeah, Free Speech Monica, all one word, Monica with a K. Okay. So freespeechmonica.wordpress.com.
Thank you so much for that. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, it's just crazy beyond belief. I kind of lost track of my last question. Before we go back to Jacob, we got to go to him in just a minute. But I was going to ask you, are you familiar with Miss Berta Voss? We had her. She's a German nationalist. She lives in Germany. She was at Montgomery Bell about a month ago now. And she's talked about some of the things you've talked about tonight. Are you familiar with her, Miss Monica?
Could you say her name again, please?
Her name is, I've had it written down here. Her name is Berta Voss, V-O-S-S. She lives in Germany. And I was really worried about her. I told her I was really worried. I almost tried to discourage her from coming on our show because of repercussions from the German government. But she came on anyway. She says she's hellbound to do it. I would like to get her on to be a guest with you sometime. But if you will research that and get back to me. But I've got to drop that. I got to Jason. I got Jason hanging on too long. I'm coming back to you, Jason. You got any questions, son?
Sure. Monica.
Excuse me, Jacob. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You know, I mean, we talk all the time on the show about the decline of free speech in the Anglosphere, and we, of course, being Americans, you know, perhaps speak most frequently about those manifestations of that phenomenon that are right here in the United States. And as someone who's been a revisionist historian, who has seen the ugly face of censorship in the old country, as it were, especially as pertains to questioning the Holocaust and accounts and figures, you know, surrounding events in World War II, I was wondering if you'd like to comment on the direction things are going here in America. I mean, generally, we we think of Europe as being a good 10 to 20 years ahead in the escalation of the Bolshevik censorship agenda here in the West, here throughout the Anglosphere. But you know, as someone who's seen that a lot already in Canada, in Europe, I wondered if you'd comment on how your assessment of where we're at in regards to that here in America. How far behind you guys do you think we really are in terms of, apocalypse level censorship of free speech?
Yeah, thanks for that question. Just, you know, it's so pertinent and relevant. So Germany is what many people have called the heart of Germany, or sorry, the heart of Europe. That's what I meant to say, the heart of Europe. And so Germany is the first target. But that said, the target is all of the white race, as you know. Mm-hmm. And but Germany has to go, and then they the Jews think, okay, as Germany goes, then the domino effect of all the others will go too. And so that's why in Germany it's particularly bad with, first of all, the re-education since World War II, re-education a la George Orwell style, where, you know, it's all lies and deception. And so now you've got like two, maybe three generations of re-educated people, and it has really, you know, just absolutely ruined many, many people, although now there are many who are waking up to what is going on. So you have this real polarization, too, between those who are still asleep and those who are waking up, because once people get it, they really get it fast because of how extreme it has become. Now, as far as Canada and the United States, I mean, in Canada, we have these hate speech laws, and those are aimed at precisely exactly the same sort of end goal. And in the States, I think that, I mean, you guys are really kind of still hanging on to some of these, you know, constitutional, like the First Amendment, Second Amendment. And I, in my letters when I was writing to Americans, I would often say, please hang on to your First and Second Amendments. But I know that these are being eroded and whittled away very hard. But I don't know. I mean, you could probably say more clearly how it stands now in the States.
Oh, well,
Miss Monica, I'll go ahead. Let me just ask one quick question. We'll go back to Jacob. Miss Monica, I don't know if you're still communicating. I know Alfred's still in jail. I don't know how close you are to other people in Germany. But with the knowledge you have, what would be your estimation? Do you think that Germany's ever going to overthrow the Jews, the Zionist gulag that they have them under, really? Are they going to overthrow it? And if they are, when will they regain their freedom, if they do at all?
Well, you know,
and then back to you, Jason.
Shall I answer that? When you read,
sure, yeah,
the poetry of poet German poets from through the ages, you would think that it's now. You see, what happens with the Germanic peoples is they tend to become very soft and go to sleep when things are going well, and things have been going, you know, we've been comfortable, we've been kept fat and happy, as they say, for quite a long time, we, as in all of us Germanic people and you know, white people in general, and that's where people can just kind of go to sleep, really. And when we get rattled awake, the fighting spirit will be back, and the warrior spirit, and I think that it's like a sleeping giant that is just going to get rattled awake here. And I would like to agree with how my brother sees it, and he sees this as being close to end game, where, you know, the sleeping giant wakes up and rattles itself loose from its chains. And boy, oh boy, when that happens, look out. We will absolutely prevail. I mean, I have to think that way. I have to think that way. Otherwise, you know, we could just roll over and, you know, step into our grave right now, and I do not intend to do that. And I think it's high past time that people who are learning about this, you know, get, they participate in this and no more you know, excuses like, oh, I might lose some friends if I talk about this, or I might this or that. Well, you know, nothing is going to be worth anything if we don't just all pull out all our, you know, all our effort now.
I wish more men thought like you did, Monica. People, I can't believe we're out of time. Thank you so much, Miss Monica, for coming on tonight. I want to thank Jacob for coming on. I'd like to thank Rob, Jason Rob for coming on the first hour. Thank all the crew, Sam, his daughter. Good night, people. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And if you can't, we can, please donate. Lord knows we need the money. God willing, same time next week, folks. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening.